Good morning. This is Radio Olin KROJ 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, you're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions with experts and leaders in these fields. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. This is your host, Veronica Pimento,
Cassandra Meraz,
Rosario Sandoval.
Joining us this morning are some of our staff here at Pueblo y Salud. Cassandra, do you mind telling our audience what you do here at Pueblo?
Yeah, for sure. I am part of the alcohol and other drugs contract here at Pueblo y Salud. And so I'm one of the prevention coordinators. So a little bit of kind of what the AOD team does is we provide education services to the youth and the adults in our communities through giving classes, resources, community outreach. And then we do a lot of we advocate for a lot of like public health policy work in terms of like related to substances like marijuana, alcohol, opioids, and stuff. And a lot of that stuff we do through coalitions with other STAPC providers. So that's a little bit about AOD.
That's interesting. And I see that you guys have been very active with so many things, so many different tasks that Pueblo assigns you to. So I just commend you on your guys' great work and great attitude that you guys always demonstrate.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot of fun. In the end, we know it's going to pay off. So it's been a lot of fun.
Definitely. Rosario, you just joined our team. Can you tell us a little bit about what you will be doing?
So I'm going to be doing the medication assisted treatment outreach here in the community, where we go out to parent centers and let them know about this crisis that's happening now, the opioid crisis, and showing them that there is ways to get their addictions treated and just give them the resources needed.
That's awesome. What are you looking forward to the most?
I guess just like finally going out into the community and spreading the word that there's solutions for their addictions.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
My name is Brenda Villanueva, and I am the program director of the Alcohol and Other Preventions Program.
So this morning I have a group of ladies who have traveled the world quite a bit. So we would like to just get some of their experiences and being able to share out what they experienced throughout those different countries, kind of just throwing out some of the countries. I know, Cassandra, you have lived in Australia. Tell us what that was like.
Oh, okay. So I'm going first.
Yeah.
So the summer between my junior and senior year of college, I had the amazing opportunity to go to Australia for a summer. So it was kind of through the school, and me and I think like there was like 25 to 30 other kids that went, and we took we studied over there, and we took classes, and they were like cognitive science classes, which had nothing to do with my major, but I was like, hey, a trip to Australia to study, sure, why not? So I went, and I stayed in Sydney, which is in I'm trying to think of a map, on the east coast of Australia. And it was super, super fun. My best friend also ended up going. So we roomed together, and it was just different. Like, even though it's like an English-speaking country per se, just the way that they kind of like carried themselves and the way that people were. Like, I think the thing that surprised me the most was how friendly everybody was. Mm. So it was super, super cool. Definitely a place that I want to go back to. That's Australia. But I mean, what else do you,
How long were you there for?
So I was there for roughly like six and a half weeks. So it was like towards the end of the summer. I was there for like 6.5 weeks.
Did you meet anybody down under?
Did I meet anybody down under? No, Brenda. All right, cut that out.
Family friendly show. I have a question.
Yeah, go for it.
Wait, isn't there summer our winter or vice versa?
Yeah, so when we went, we were told prior, like, okay, pack like really heavy clothes, like it's gonna be super cold and rainy, and it only rained the last day that we were there. So everybody that we were meeting were like, oh, you guys got so lucky because this is like our worst, like this is the worst time to come to Australia because it's always raining. And it was actually kind of like it would be like 70 degree weather here. I mean, it would get cold at night, but it was like the perfect ideal weather, kind of similar to their springs per se. But yeah, but it only rained the last day. And it, when it rained, like couldn't see anything. It was pouring. But yeah, their summers are, our winters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then vice versa.
What's something that stood out to you that you would want to implement in your own life out here?
Oh, that's a good question. I think probably, like this sounds really, I don't know if it sounds weird, but definitely like the work-life balance that they have. Mm. That was something that kind of surprised me, or even like the school-life balance with me thinking about going back to school possibly in the next year. They kind of have like a 9-to-5 type of schedule, but like once it hit 5, it was like, that's it. No more talking about work, like you're off work, nothing related to work. And they actually had some cafes within the city limits that would only be open during work hours. And then they would have signs or they that say like, you can't have meetings here. No work could be discussed, or it's only open during like, you know, regular business hours and stuff like that. So definitely like that was something that I liked about the culture, was the fact that when they were at work, it was about work. And then when it was time to get off, then it was time to get off. It wasn't like here where, you know, sometimes we tend to bring our work home with us.
Yeah.
Or we tend to work overtime. Like over there, it's not really, it's very unusual that they work overtime, because it's like, no, like I have a life outside of work and stuff like that. So that's definitely one thing that I would like to kind of implement, which I kind of been trying to do.
Yeah, I was actually gonna note that as I continue moving on to this little segment, after asking you guys all questions, I'm sure that's one thing you guys can all agree, the work-life balance in other countries versus how it is here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that was like one of the things that I took from there. And then definitely the friendliness and the welcoming of the people in Australia, and just how, like, even though they heard that we were Americans and stuff like that, it was kind of around the time of the election of the current president. Mm-hmm. Like, it was kind of like the aftermath in a sense. But they were very welcoming in a sense, and it wasn't very I didn't feel, it wasn't scary to approach people to like ask for directions, or like, you know, ask the locals, hey, like, what do you guys like to do here and stuff like that. So definitely trying to implement that where it's more of a welcoming environment, especially now. All right. So I guess one of the best things, I guess, to come out of the trip besides like the memories and stuff was the music and stuff. So for our listeners, we're going to go ahead and lead you into a music break of artists who are Australian. And one of them happens to be 5 Seconds of Summer, which is a pop rock band that's up and coming. They've been around since like 2012. So we're going to play a little bit of their music and then music from other Australian artists. So enjoy. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go? I don't want to know. But I know that I'm never ever going to change. And you know you don't want it any other way. Why do we always gotta run away? And we wind up in the same place. It's like we're looking for the same thing, yeah. Do we really gotta do this now? Ride it with all your friends around. In the morning we can work it out, work it out. I love you so much that I hate you. Right now it's so hard to blame you. Cause you're so damn beautiful. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go? I don't wanna know. But I know that I'm never ever gonna change. And you know that you're always gonna stay the same. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier to go? I don't wanna know. But I know that I'm never ever gonna change. And you know you don't want it any other way. Every time that you say you're gonna leave, that's when you get the very best of me. You know we need it like the air we breathe, air we breathe, yeah. I love you so much that I hate you. Right now it's so hard to blame you. Cause you're so damn beautiful. It's so damn beautiful. Is it easier to stay? Is it easier?
Good morning. This is Radio Olin, KROJ, 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, you're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions with experts and leaders in these fields. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. This is your host, Veronica Pimentel.
All right, guys, welcome back. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. So for those tuning in, you guys were just listening to some artists from Australia, and it was five seconds of Summer. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it off to Rosario so she could talk a little bit about her experience in traveling and stuff.
So I also did a study abroad program, but I did mine in Madrid, and I got to live with a family who was basically, yeah, they were natives. And I had a Spanish mom, and she would cook for us, do our laundry. So basically, I was living my life out there. And I got to try a lot of, like, authentic dishes because she cooked for us. And one of my favorite dishes was probably her pisto, which is just veggies. And, they're cooked together. And it has, it's, I guess it would be kind of like a ratatouille, but, like, with the Spanish taste to it. And while I was out there, I was studying at Carlos Tercero. And
how long were you out there for?
I was out there for about 5 months, almost six. And I got to do a lot of traveling, not only throughout Spain, but throughout, like, Europe.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the other countries that you got to visit?
I think one of my favorite ones was that I got to go to Africa as well. Went to Morocco, nice. And then the Blue City, like Chefchaouen or something like that. And it was really beautiful. Definitely, you see the difference in cultures, how women are hardly seen on the streets. Mm-hmm. And then there was us Americans, like, parading through the streets with shorts when, like, people didn't do that out there. So we were, like, looked at differently. So it was definitely, like... it was eye-opening to see how different our cultures really are.
Yeah. And it's not an expensive flight, right? From Spain to Africa? It's about, like, less than 200 round trip?
We actually took a bus because it was, like, a group excursion. Oh, okay. So we took a bus from Madrid, and it took us about, like, 7 hours. And then we took a ferry from the tip of Madrid to the tip of Africa.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. Did you guys get to ride any camels?
Yes.
How was that?
It was fun. At first I was scared because it started, like, once it was sitting down, like, it just kind of felt like you were gonna fall off the camel, but it was fine. And we took, like, group pictures, and we got to walk around the beach. There was also another excursion that I wanted to do where the camels walk through, like, a desert part, but on my excursion it was just along the beach side.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's super cool. What was one of the highlights from Madrid?
Definitely, like, getting close to the people in the program. Till this day, I would say they're one of my closest friends. And even though some already live in Madrid, another one lives in New York, we're all in touch all the time. So, like, I feel like I made lifelong friends out of that program.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I could kind of relate to that, too. A lot of us still keep in contact and stuff that we're in Australia. And then we made friends, too, over there. So it's kind of keeping in contact with them.
When I stayed in Madrid, I stayed in hostels. Mm-hmm. And my roommates, because you have the option to stay with up to 12 other people. And you can do, like, the mix. So either guys and girls in the room. I did a smaller room just because I like my space. And I shared with three other girls, and there are some girls from Argentina, Peru, and same thing. I still keep in contact with them. It's pretty cool because they're planning to come this year.
Oh, nice. That's super cool.
Yeah, I think traveling brings people together.
Yeah.
I think it's just, like, because you're kind of stuck, not necessarily stuck, but you're challenged to be in a different culture and experiencing it together, kind of all have to be open. And seeing how other people are receptive and how well they deal with it, I think that also brings you closer.
Yeah, for sure.
Brenda, you also lived in Spain for a little bit. Tell us what that was like.
Yeah, I actually got to live in Spain for a year. I had gone as a youth pastor, so my church had sent me basically as a missionary. And then I basically lived in Alicante. And it was cool because in the whole year that I was there, I got to go all over Spain. My only regret was not getting out of Spain, because it is super cheaper to travel within Europe mm-hmm. than it actually is to travel within the United States. For example, a round trip ticket to Barcelona, from Barcelona to Paris, is like literally $60 or yeah. $90 or something like that. But yeah, I got to see Madrid as well. I'm a huge Real Madrid fan, so you best believe I went to go visit Santiago Bernabeu. And the cool thing is that I got to experience that with my best friend, because she was doing the Disney cruise, Mediterranean, I guess, route that they had. And so we met up in Barcelona, and then we went to Madrid. But Alicante, unlike Madrid, is a coastal city, and it's a tourist spot. Mm-hmm. So Alicante is directly, like, right across from Ibiza. So mm-hmm. a lot of the people that go to Ibiza, they leave from Alicante in the plane because it's like a straightaway or whatever. But it's funny because I got to, live with a family, but I lived with immigrants, basically. They came from Argentina. And a lot of the people in the church that I used to serve at, they were South American immigrants. So I got to meet not only South American people, but I got to meet a couple of Spanish people as well. And in a way, I like that because I got to experience Spanish customs, but I also got to experience South American customs. And mm-hmm. it was definitely quite different. I'm actually a Spanish-speaking person. Like, Spanish is my first language. But when I got to Spain, I was like, what the hell have I been speaking my whole life? Yeah, like, yeah. I felt so, like, they you know, it really, yeah. It wasn't like, even so much the accent. It's just that in El Salvador, we speak super fast. And half the time, we don't pronounce half the consonants that are in the words. But in a way, living in Spain definitely enhanced my Spanish a lot. So I was very grateful for that experience. And one of my favorite things about it was that while I was going as a youth pastor, I got to get a job at a private academy. So I ended up teaching English for like 3 different levels. And I got to know even more people that way. I actually taught English for flight attendants. Wow. So that was really, really cool. Mm-hmm. I have to say,
what program was this? Or was it directly with your church?
No. Well, it was through the Foursquare Church. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, it was just a pastor voice that he needed a youth leader, and his daughter had come to our church, and so my pastor, without even talking to me, was like, I have somebody, and he basically lined it up, and, you know, he had to ask my mom forgiveness for quite a bit, but it was an experience of a lifetime, and honestly, it was a challenge, because at the time, I still had a semester of college left, of university, and I dropped out basically to take this opportunity because I was like, if I was like, I can always go back to school, you know? And I saw it, I ran with it, and I definitely do not regret it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a good year.
Yeah. I think that's always something important. Like, we can all agree on, like, just having that experience. It's something that you wouldn't trade for the world, as good and bad as it was. It's just like, no, that kind of, like, I know for sure, like, traveling built my character. Like, now I'm like, having to be by myself then, it's like, now I'm comfortable being on my own, because mm-hmm. traveling by yourself or just being exposed to a whole different country, a whole different culture, I know it challenges your, I don't know, just your ways.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like, granted, you know, studying abroad put me in more debt, you know, more debt True. Than, you know, that I needed.
Facts.
But it was something that, you know, the experience that I had, money is just like money, you know, like spending those 5 weeks in Australia or just like even doing trips like growing up, like throughout school and stuff like that, like the money was never something that would stop me, because I'd rather take a trip and take an experience mm-hmm. like traveling everywhere than to regret it later.
Yeah. I always convince myself, I'm like, if not now, when? Like, I'm not married, I don't have kids, like, if not yeah. now, when?
Reach, that's what yeah. I do it. Shoot, I most of my money honestly goes to travel and food, and I do not regret it. And yeah. it's okay, I show it, but I do not regret it. Like, you know,
yeah.
that's the best of life.
No, and like going off of that, that's something that like my mom always tells me, is like, you know, this is the time to like be traveling and be doing a lot of like your own things, because once you have kids or like once you get married, mm-hmm. then you have to think about somebody else and like it's more expensive, and this is kind of the time to travel.
And yeah. And we're not saying if you have kids or if you have a partner, you can't travel. I definitely still encourage it. My brother, he still travels with his wife, his daughter, and their foster kids. Like, they're still all over the world. Yeah, they're all over the world.
Yeah.
I think the last place they went to was Costa Rica.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it hasn't stopped them. They were big travelers before. But the thing about them is that they know how to budget. And so they're not eating out all the time. They're not at those fancy restaurants that sometimes we... That's like a whole different conversation on the money yeah. we spend. Like...
Like, no, but really I could, I, you know, I get a lot of people that are like, I don't get how you have the time and the money to travel as much as you do, because I'm making my goal to even take solo trips, mm-hmm. whether it be to San Diego, sometimes it's local. I've gone to Seattle by myself. I'm actually going to DC next week to visit my brother, but you don't need to break your bank for it. Like, honestly, yeah. there's so many apps and so many different ways to, you know, be able to achieve, to get to know cities. Like, for me, I never travel for luxury. It's always for the experience. So I always go on Hopper to check flights, but also, you know, be open to stay at a hostel mm-hmm. or not such a fancy, yes. you know, hotel, because then you get to meet people and mm-hmm. it's a different experience. Or make friends, and then you'll be like me, where sometimes I don't pay for stay because yeah. I know people in those places, you Same. Know, so... You know, there's ways to achieve that without having to break your bank. You just have to have an open mind and be willing to search.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Like, I just took a trip recently to Death Valley. Like, it's just like a national park, but, you know, it was a super cheap trip. Like, you just got to find the right places, the right, you know, food, accommodations, and stuff like that. You don't have to spend a lot to, you know, have a lot of fun and experience yeah. and stuff like that.
For my solo Euro trip, I spent less than $2,000. And it was legit just a week before. Like, I was on lunch break. It was when I worked at the elementary school. And I was like, you know, I was like, I think I want to go to Spain. And I was on my lunch. And I was like, yep, I'm going to Spain. And I booked it that same lunch break. And it was just like, I knew I was going like a one way to Portugal. And then like, I got a one way back from Spain. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to fit everything in between. And I did get to visit like some additional spots like Germany, and I was just determined. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. Like, I didn't know where I was going to stay until I actually got there. And I was like, okay, I think now I should probably book a stay. And yeah, it's having to be open. Like, I did stay in hostels. And
it's an adventure. Awesome. I've learned so much. I've been through some stuff. I've been followed. I've gone through so much. Yeah. But, dude, no regrets. Like, I can mm-hmm. laugh about it. I can make a movie about all that. But yeah, like Vero said, sometimes you just really got to jump and take that risk, and it's gonna be definitely the most eye-opening, the most rewarding. And in Europe, it's not that hard to do, because you go, like, the way I want to do it, I want to take a month and a half off. Mm-hmm. I want to start off in Greece and fly home from the UK, because it's really cheap. Like, mm-hmm. they have a train that goes all over Europe, and you could even buy pre-purchase mm-hmm. one that already has stops, and you could go on and off whenever you want, but it's already set that you're gonna have stops. So, you know, there's ways to do it.
Yeah, for sure.
How long was your trip in Europe?
Mine was short. It was only 10 days.
Oh, okay.
But I was like back to back. Wow,
so you were just like going in and out of airports day to day?
Pretty much. My students were on, they were going on summer break, and then I was going to be doing some of the summer school programs. But I was just like, you know, I have the week, and I don't like to waste time. Like, yeah. like if I have a day or two, I'm traveling. And so, yeah, it was 10 days. So I spent like 3 days in Portugal. And then from there, I left to Germany. I was only in Germany for 2 days. There, I did stay with my friends from Germany. So I did get to save on that, too. And then they still took me around all over Germany. And then from there, I went to Madrid. Madrid, I was there the longest. Mm-hmm. I think I was there for about 4 days, 5 days. And then in Barcelona, the rest of the days.
Oh, okay.
So Barcelona. It was awesome.
I actually love Barcelona more, but Real Madrid for sure. But the city, just because it's a coastal city. But I always say, yo, if you don't need a vacation after your vacation, you didn't do it right. Yeah. You did not do it right.
I still went to work the next day. Like, I was, like, coming back from, like, a 9-hour time difference, but I mm-hmm. still went to work. And that's the thing where it's, like, if I'm going to take a day off, then that means I could have been that extra day in another yeah. country. Yeah. Like,
I actually was more jet-lagged coming back to the States than when I got there. When I got there, I guess I had timed my flight perfectly so that when I got there, I was already asleep and everything, but... Coming back to the United States was the worst.
For sure. I had to take some sleeping pills in Madrid because I was all about, like, dancing and staying up till 7 a.m. and then so confused because I still wanted to explore. So I would sleep for a couple of hours and I would wake up. But I think that's, like, the beauty of, like, traveling by yourself. You don't have anybody, like, waiting on you. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
yeah.
Like,
or you waiting on somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you do what you want to do.
So if you haven't traveled by yourself, this is definitely... the time to book. This is your sign. Book that flight. Book that trip.
Yeah, book
that
trip.
Don't do it. You can't
go get lost somewhere.
Exactly.
Just don't get taken.
We're gonna go ahead and go into. Please don't get taken.
And you know, just to share a little bit about some of the stuff that we liked. Here's some traditional music, flamenco, and other Spanish type of music that we would like you to enjoy, like we did. Thank you.
Con Honduras, dicen una estrella, una figura. De Héctor aprendí la sabrosura. Nunca he visto una joya tan pura.
Esto es pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura.
Con altura.
Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Y de joven pa' la sepultura.
Con altura.
Esto es pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura.
Con altura.
Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Y de joven pa' la sepultura.
Con altura.
Pongo rosas sobre el Panamera. Pongo palmas sobre la Guantanamera. Llevo camarones en la guantera.
De la isla.
Hago pa' mi gente y lo hago a mi manera. Flores azules y quilates. Y si es mentira que me mate. Flores azules y quilates. Y si es mentira que me mate.
Con altura. Con altura.
Esto es pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura.
Con altura.
Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Tire joven pa' la sepultura.
Con altura.
Esto pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura.
Con altura.
Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Tire joven pa' la sepultura.
Con altura.
Acá en la altura están fuertes los vientos. Ponte el cinturón y coge asiento. A tu beba y a la vi por dentro. Yes. El dinero nunca pierde tiempo. No, no. Contra la pared. Tú no si le tuve que comprar un trago porque las tenías con sed. Yo de acá, qué rico se ve. No sé de qué, pero rompe el bajo otra vez.
Mira, flores azules y quilates.
Rosalía.
Y se me tira que me mate. Flores azules y quilates. Y se me tira que me mate.
Con altura. Con altura.
Esto es pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura.
Con altura.
Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Tire joven para la sepultura.
Con altura.
Esto pa' que quede lo que yo hago dura. Siempre dura, dura. Demasiadas noches de travesura.
Con altura.
Vivo rápido y no tengo cura.
Con altura.
Y de joven para la sepultura.
Con altura.
Chipape.
De Rosalía.
Vamos, vamos, vamos en el
perrano.
Vamos en el perrano pa' que no
haya.
Good morning. This is Radio Olin, KROJ, 101.5 FM on your radio dial. Coming to you live from our studios at Pueblo y Salud in the city of San Fernando, you're listening to Pueblo y Salud's Platicando y Mejorando, an inspiring program that promotes the health and well-being of our community through intellectual, physical, economical, political, and spiritual discussions with experts and leaders in these fields. Tune in every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. till 12 p.m. This is your host, Veronica Pimento.
So that was a little bit of Spanish traditional music for you guys. I actually remember I had a little fun learning flamenco. It was quite interesting. But just to kind of move a little just into their traditions, one of the things that kind of also stood out to me in Spain was that they actually have a younger drinking age. Over there, the drinking age is 18 and over, and that's just throughout Europe. And it was crazy to me how people would drink on their lunch break. You know, right here, like, that's a warning straight up. Upon. It's a frowned upon, right? And over there, I mean, they do have a 2-3 hour national, like, nap time. So everything closes, which I do miss that. I wish we had that here. But with that being said, I noticed that people were just a little more responsible when it came to, you know, drinking. Like, they really wouldn't drink and drive. Everybody was either on the buses, trains, taxis, or walking. And social drinking over there really is that. Social drinking, like, people would be drinking and having a beer or two, but they would be playing and eating. So it wasn't like they were chugging beer. It was just they were enjoying their beer while they were socializing, talking. It was just something very prominent in their culture. Like, when you meet up with friends, you have a beer together, and, you know, you have little appetizers here and there. But that stood out to me. And most of the, I guess, problematic drinking, if you will, was mostly like the hidden and clandestine parties, which the one thing that it did kind of piss me off a little was that the cops, instead of going to stop the parties, they would set up checkpoints surrounding the parties to just entrap people, if that makes sense. Which I get it, at least they didn't get to drive far, but I'm like, what if they crash from the point of the party to the checkpoint? You know, like, it's not very sound policy. But I did realize that people were a little more responsible with their drinking, and the only people getting hammered, ironically, were the Americans studying abroad, you know, who were tripping out that there's beer at McDonald's and stuff like that. But yeah, that stood out to me, and I think I took that back here. Mm-hmm. And it kind of helped me not to be too crazy, or at least overlook things, you know, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. I can relate to that, because when I was in Australia, we kind of went around the time where the schools were kind of like in their summer break transitions, because they don't really have like a full summer break like we do here. And my some of my friends that, you know, I ended up meeting on the trip wanted to go to like a bar or a club, and it was like a Tuesday night. And mm-hmm. I was like, where are we going to find? I'm like, where are you going to find a club? Like, it's a Tuesday, you know? And we ended up finding this bar, and when we got there, they're like, oh yeah, it's not that packed. And then they heard us talking, they're like, oh, you're Americans, of course you're gonna come and party over here. So they already like the bouncers and the bartenders already had that like stigma that the Americans are the ones that are gonna be partying throughout the week. And then we got to talking like with some of the bartenders and stuff like that, and yeah, most of the people that come and party throughout the week are usually American students. Mm-hmm. Because usually like Australian students or anybody else that comes from like Europe and stuff like that or other countries usually only party like Fridays and Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And that the Americans are usually the ones that are in the bars or in the clubs on a Tuesday. So it was just like, damn, we already have this like stigma about us, and we were over here just trying to have like, you know, a drink or something. Yeah. And they already were like, yeah, you must be American.
I actually encountered something like that too in Madrid, and this was on a Monday, and basically it was all like foreign students or American students that would go there, and what they had for us set up was like a table up on stage where you're taking like 5-7 shots and seeing who takes them faster. So it was like, you see how like they already like portray how we drink or our bad habits, and it's just like made it worse, because like now you're going out from Monday through like literally the whole week now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. And I think just kind of going along with the fact that those that I did see like binge drinking in a sense were usually Americans, just because I think like the culture here, especially the drinking culture like in college and stuff like that, or just in general, it's very like binge, like let's see how much alcohol I can consume. Mm-hmm. At one like period of time, see how hammered I can get. And that usually leads to like even worse consequences, where like when I was in Australia, like similar to like having a beer like during lunch or, you know, on a break or whatever. They kind of knew their limitations, and they also know not to drink and drive.
Yeah, and one of the things also that stood out to me was policy. In a lot of the countries in Europe, the BAC limit is either 0.02 or, well, in the extreme cases, 0.02, and in other ones is 0.05. You know, right here we have 0.08, and, you know, even then with the DUIs and stuff like that, people still drink, even though they have that on the record. There's, like, no stringent over there. Like, socially, it's frowned upon. Like, you're considered, like, people, it's not so much that you'll be an outcast, but they'll make sure that you know that it is socially not acceptable to drink and drive. And that stood out to me. So the way I was kind of thinking about this, like, even as we look at policy, is like, well, is it the substance in itself, or is it the way that it's promoted here and the culture that's been built around the substance, mm-hmm. and not so much the substance itself? Because over there, it is part of their culture, but it's a part of their meal. It's a social thing. Like, they don't, it's not like you have to party mm-hmm. type of thing. And the most that I usually have seen it in Europe is like the people that watch soccer, and they're part of like these, like, I guess team gangs or whatever, but they're already crazy as it is. Yeah. But socially, it's not really like that. And right here, the culture is you gotta take shots. You're not down if you don't take shots. You're not down if you don't chug your beer, you know? So I think looking at context and how we formulate messaging around that, do we look at, you know, I think for us, it's really changing norms and really changing how we look at these substances. You know, because I think just trying to take the substance in itself is kind of like going over people's heads and ears. So it's kind of looking at that, but it's a good example of, you know, just how the environment really plays a role in how you consume.
I definitely know it's a culture thing, because, like, thinking back of, like, say, a child in Europe who sees their parent drinking every day with their meal, it's something like, oh, okay, like, that's normal. But then here it's like, oh, your parent is an alcoholic. And it's just seeing, because over there they know how to control it, and it's more just, like you said, like, casual, it's a normal thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think here we really don't know, well, like, I think we know, like, subconsciously the limitations that, you know, you should have when drinking alcohol. But again, it's like that whole changing norms thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to see how much I can drink to basically I either black out or pass out because I've drank too much and stuff like that. And I don't think we're at a point right now where society is like, okay, if I get a DUI, oh, it's okay. Like, coming from, like, personal experience, like, I've had family members who have gotten DUIs and it's just like, yeah, just next time I'll be a little bit more careful. And it's like, no, you shouldn't even be getting behind a wheel. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to take a different route. It's like, no, don't ever get behind a wheel, no matter how much you've, like, you know, drank alcohol and stuff like that.
Kind of going off topic, but something that really irritates me is when people post on social media where exactly they're having checkpoints. I'm like, to me, like, you're giving them the opportunity to avoid that. But it's like, what if that person avoid a different road and then they hit one of your family members? It's like, you kind of contributed to allowing them and promoting that, like, it's okay to drink, just avoid this road.
And I think that the reason that becomes such an issue too is because, unfortunately, if you look at the checkpoints, they're always in the communities of color and never really in the, and I think that's why people get, like, mad. But that's a whole other subject. But I don't care about race or whatever. Like, you just shouldn't be drinking and driving. And just, I think just in our culture overall, there's a lot of hypocrisy. For example, just two key examples. I have friends that are super, you know, into fitness, and they might be vegan or they might be vegetarian and this and that, but they drink alcohol like there is no tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, but yeah, you think you're healthy. Your insights are not, you know, I don't know what you think your insights look like, but real talk, that's hypocritical. You're not being healthy, whether you know, eat an animal or not. Like, you know, it's just counterintuitive. Or, like, you know, in our culture, you know, it's a baby shower. It's a freaking bautismo, for crying out loud. And there's, like, alcohol. Bad. There's buckets of alcohol. Like, hay más cerveza que agua bendita. You know, like, I just, it's crazy. No, like, it's, I have friends that are Catholic, and, you know, they'll be, like, 40 days of Lent and be like, I'm not eating meat. But, you know, but they'll drink alcohol, and I'm like, isn't that a little more toxic for your body and a little more anti what than the meat would be, you know? But it's just looking at those things and how culturally they've really ingrained that alcohol is a must for every party. We have holidays that have nothing, like when you look at the basis of the holiday, it has nothing to do with alcohol, but everybody has connected that holiday with alcohol. Cinco de Mayo. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't even know the actual historical context. And it's not even something that's celebrated in all of Mexico, yeah. You know, or St. Patrick's Day, you know, it's all about getting hammered with that little leprechaun. But they don't really know the actual context or history of the actual holiday. Mm-hmm. So it's looking at those things, you know, and how our culture has formulated just on binge drinking.
Yeah, no, and it's crazy. Like, you know, us, like, having these travel experiences and going to these other countries thinking, like, oh, you know, like, maybe it'll be the same. And then you go and you're like, oh, it's usually the Americans that are doing that. And it's like, damn, like, even somewhere as far as like Australia or Spain, mm-hmm. like they already know that the American culture is to binge drink or to be drinking heavily, and as ends, and it's kind of like, man, it's already like transcending into other countries, mm-hmm. that like that's what we're kind of known for in reality, and it's crazy.
Yeah, and like I think we manifest it even more. For example, how it was mentioned how we have like for St. Patrick's Day they do have like a parade downtown with like green beer and stuff. So it's like they're just promoting, like, let's get drunk, let's drink and then drive after, because obviously most of the people don't live in downtown LA. So it's just promoting getting drunk more.
And Lord knows that Uber ride is not cheap.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing too that deteriorates people from taking the proper precautions when they do drink. It's like, well, I'm not going to pay a $90 Uber when I can just drive myself, you know? And it's just, like, things like that. But then you go to countries like, you know, Europe and Australia where they have, like, a 24/7 public transit system. Mm-hmm. And then you come to a state like California where, you know, you don't have 24/7 transportation.
It kind of goes back to all of the points against the 4 a.m. bar bill that, mm-hmm. like, for the
we got to keep that sucker down.
Yeah, they were trying to extend the drinking hours from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. So it was a Senator Wiener who is presenting this bill. Mm-hmm. And so they were trying to extend the drinking hours. But, you know, we're kind of bringing up, like, we don't have the same transportation system as other states that do have this in place. We have all the splash zones that would be affected. So it's like all of the other cities, like, leading up to that main city or wherever where you're gonna actually go out and stay there drinking, those cities would be affected, and then that means more drivers on the road, it's closer to commuter time, and so it's like a whole another big thing, which I know we'll have to talk about another time because I only have a couple more minutes, but it's something to that kind of leads back. We don't have the same transportation. I mean, it's just not the same as in Europe.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, traveling and being able to do these, like, whether it's like solo trips or just trips in general to these different places, you kind of see how sometimes we're kind of put in a bubble, or you feel like you're in a bubble when you go to these other places. You're like, wow, they're not as, you know, crazy about drinking, or like they have these different traditions, or just even the way that they treat people and stuff like that. Like, it's all kind of very different. And I think kind of tying it back into the whole traveling thing, like, traveling is an experience for you to learn about everything and anything. Mm-hmm. And I think at some point it's important to, you know, to travel and to learn those experiences and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. It's just a way to really open up your mind and really just experience something different other than your own culture and what, you know, your own upbringing. So definitely very grateful for all the experiences that I've personally had, mm-hmm. whether Spain, Caribbean, or just even within the United States.
As much as I love traveling to other countries, I always appreciate being back home, and I always appreciate as I'm out there. Simple things like our driving laws, where you go to another country and they will run you off the road, like, they're not paying your house tuition up there. Simple things like toilet seat covers, like, we're the only country that has toilet seat covers.
So yeah, just travel wherever you can and just look out for things and try to bring them back and implement them into your life, which I think will make a great difference in our community and as a whole.
Yeah, and just I think it's a way to help you not only embrace your culture, but also be able to embrace other people's cultures. And I think that's going to open our minds to be able to cohabit with one another and understand one another. Like, there is beauty and diversity, and, you know, just embrace that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think now more than ever, we have to kind of appreciate all the different cultures and all the diversity that we have in the world. And traveling is one way to do that. So I think, you know, if you have the opportunity to travel, do it, whether it's locally, you know, across, like, to Europe and Australia and stuff like that. But, you know, just get out there, put yourself out there, because you never know what you might be able to learn from somebody else.
Mm-hmm. And one last thing, if you travel, don't just go. Actually be willing to try something different from the customs that you're used to. Try different food, try different, I don't know, traditions or whatever. You know, as long as it doesn't interfere with, you know,
and a big,
I
guess, the thing, core of you. But I would say be present. So I know you want to take pictures of everything, but actually just disconnect for a little bit to connect to the people that you're around. And just be present in the moment. Like, see the beauty from your eyes rather than your camera lens.
Yeah, stun on people when you get back.
Done it.